We're talking about the disappearance of fertile soil in the Midwest, why wind and water erosion is a threat. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. Scientists from the University of Massachusetts Amherst, they came up with a new estimate recently on how much rich topsoil is gone due to farming. But scientists aren't all on the same page. The USDA's estimates of erosion is much lower. So numbers aside, we look at solutions for helping to rebuild topsoil. Join in on degraded soil. Your questions, 800-642-1234. Jeremy Ziegler is a soil scientist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service. Jeremy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. So the scientists at UMass Amherst, they found that soil is eroding in the Midwest at double the rate of what the USDA says is sustainable. What worries you about their findings?
Well, it's pretty concerning, I think, overall in the U.S., that we are seeing an uptick in soil erosion over the last 10 to 15 years. And we see that based on, you know, higher amounts of rainfall, higher rain events that are causing some of our water erosion. And we also have to take into consideration our wind erosion as well, with some of our stronger storms that we see coming through the area.
So Mother Nature having an impact there on soil erosion, that wearing away of that precious topsoil. And we're going to get to the human effects first, in just a moment. But can you first explain those natural wind and rain events and how that naturally erodes soil?
Right. That's a good question. So with water erosion, that's essentially when our farm fields and agricultural lands are kind of bare, you know, after the harvest in the fall, a lot of our fields are tilled up and kind of left barren for the winter. And that kind of exposes the topsoil to having these water events, rain events come through and essentially wash away our topsoil when we have steeper slopes or when it's unprotected. And then that, you know, topsoil is really prime, rich, fertile ground. And so when the water comes through there, it washes that away and then ends up in our ditches and goes into our lakes and rivers and streams. So protecting our soil is the main thing we want to do. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to have some kind of cover crop or cover over the soil over that time when we're not having crops planted in
mm-hmm.
it.
One of your soil scientist types describes soil as the skin of the earth, and I just found that just so poetic, the layer where rock and life intersect to form the basis of our existence. What is the difference, Jeremy, between healthy soil and seriously degraded soil?
So soil is alive, we say, you know, in the soil business, is soil is living and alive. We have millions and billions of bacteria and microorganisms living in the soil, and they all play a part in that. And so when we see a healthy soil, we have good soil structure that's in the soil that allows that rain to infiltrate through. We have to think of soil as a sponge where we want to soak up that rainwater. And so having good soil structure, good infiltration is key to having a healthy soil in terms of having it available for plants. When we see a degraded soil or a bad soil, if you will, that soil has been generally tilled up and the soil structure is not available. Those pores and void spaces that air use and that the animals need to survive just aren't there. And so, you know, in terms of the bad soil, the infiltration generally is not very good. We have soil crusting on the surface because of that soil structure. And so that's where we start to see the erosion problems, is when the water can't infiltrate through and runs off.
Talking
so
with, oh, sorry.
Tillage and cover, yep, tillage and cover crops are the two main things to help with creating some healthy soils.
I'm going to jump in here and reintroduce you. Jeremy Ziegler, soil scientist with the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, giving us insight on erosion, soil erosion, and a report that found the Midwest topsoil vastly depleted. You can join in on soil and erosion questions you have, 800-642-1234. Jeremy, you mentioned tillage. We've heard about no-till farming and, what turning up the soil does. What changes can a farmer expect after reducing their tillage?
Well, now if you've been tilling your soil for decades, the first thing you need to know is that it's not going to just change overnight. We know if we can try to minimize the disturbance or the tillage in our soil, that's a great start. But after a couple of years of trying the no-till or reducing your tillage, you're going to start to hopefully see some of that soil structure to get repaired. The aggregates in the soil, the actual soil body, is going to be better for that infiltration of our rainwater, and it's going to, again, act like a sponge. And just reducing your tillage is one step forward, but also, again, cover crops, adding those cover crops to your soil when you're not harvesting and keeping the living roots in the ground as much as possible is really going to help with your just overall soil health in your soil health system.
Sometimes
so you're going to see improved infiltration for sure.
Sometimes when we talk with farmers about their cover crops, it feels like experimentation as you go, if you will, trying different cover crops, seeing what happens, changing things up. Is there not a really good formula for what cover crops to plant where or how to best use cover crops?
And I guess it all kind of depends on the producer's individual goals.
Mm-hmm.
Some cover crops are just solely used for soil cover to keep the soil covered as long as possible. Some cover crops are meant to help build organic matter back into the soil that was lost over, the erosion and years of tillage. So it kind of is individual, but, what I tell producers is if they have a pretty big farming operation is to start small.
Hmm.
Start on a small 20, 40-acre field that they have and to incorporate some cover crops. And there's a variety of different mixes out there and different thought processes on that, and it just all kind of depends on the individual in terms of then how do you deal with those cover crops in spring? Do you spray them off to kill them? Do you plant your crops directly into the cover crops in spring? So, again, it's kind of an individual thing, and everyone's different. And so that's why I think there's a lot of different opinions out there in terms of what's best.
USDA soil scientist Jeremy Ziegler with us, fielding your questions on the loss of fertile topsoil in the Midwest. What changes can be made to farming practices to stop further erosion? Join in on what you see, no-till practices, runoff, plowing, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jeremy Ziegler here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about erosion that degrades our soil here in the Midwest with an eye on farming practices and what will rebuild soil productivity. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Scientists from University of Massachusetts Amherst, they published this study recently, found the Midwest has lost over 57 trillion metric tons of soil over about 160 years of farming practices. And this is a big problem in the face of climate change. Join in how erosion degrades soil, what the loss of fertile topsoil means for your farm operation, what you see in your community, 800-642-1234. USDA soil scientist Jeremy Ziegler with us here for another 10 or so minutes. Jeremy, we heard from Jeff in Delafield, called, couldn't stay with us, and they asked if the use of corn for fuel has led to an increase in agriculture that ultimately contributes to soil erosion. What do you see there?
That's tough to say. I would say we definitely use corn these days more for our ethanol purposes. But I think we're also a growing world that needs to eat. Mm-hmm. And so having that farmland available for food production is pretty important. But yeah, I think, you know, there probably is more corn being grown in today's age, more, you know, than 30 years ago, based on the ethanol need that we have.
Looking at climate change as well, I can kind of hear this double-edged sword here. You know, soil has a key role in fighting climate change. Massive amount of carbon is stored in soils. But then, as you said there, you have to strike that balance between storing carbon and then also meeting the food needs for growing populations. What do you see there as those two tensions?
Well, you know, I think just generally having soil organic matter in the farm field is very important. It's one of the most important resources we have in our soil. And I think over time, we definitely see less soil organic matter being formed, at least in our traditional farming operations, based on tillage. And so, again, helping with some of these soil health practices of minimizing disturbance and having cover crops and having a living root in the soil as long as possible helps us build that organic matter and helps us have that carbon available for plants and be able to grow, you know, what crops we do grow. We want to be as successful as we can in growing them, and organic matter and carbon definitely play a big role in that.
What about the effects from frequent flooding and wildfire seasons so intense and intense droughts? How is soil erosion affected by climate change?
It's impacted greatly by climate change. I mean, again, just with the larger rainfall amounts that we have, when the soil can't absorb that rainfall with a healthy soil acting like a sponge, we start to see, again, the high quantities of rain come through and erode our topsoil. That is really, that's where the bulk of our soil organic matter is and our soil fertility is. So even adding fertilizers and things to farm fields, you know, we're going to be losing those key soil fertility elements with the erosion. And we know our climate change is ongoing, and with the wind and the rain, those are the main factors. And when we do have wildfires, we are burning off some of that organic matter as well. So it definitely has been increasing over the last decade or so, and it's concerning.
I wonder how you feel about whether soil could be viewed as a renewable resource, because, you know, as we look at no-till and cover crops and all of these ways to regenerate soil, once fertile, rich topsoil is gone, is it gone forever?
Well, I won't say it's gone forever, but just as an example, you know, it takes roughly between 100 and 500 years to form 1 inch of new topsoil naturally. Wow. Without any input. So I definitely, you know, consider soils as not a renewable resource. We definitely have to do our part to help conserve it, and otherwise we're not going to have those fertile grounds in the future generations to help grow crops. So it definitely is going to take humans to help keep soils on the farm field and keep them fertile.
Jeremy Ziegler with us, soil scientist with the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, as we discuss how to protect healthy topsoil in the Midwest that has been severely depleted by ag production through time. You can join in on soil erosion, what you see, 800-642-1234. Marcus is here from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus. What's on your mind?
Good morning. So my question is why don't we take and have a paradigm mind shift and go back to what the Native Americans have been doing for hundreds, if not thousands of years, in planting the three sisters, being squash, beans, and corn. The corn acts as a trellis for the beans. The beans puts nitrogen in for the squash, and then the squash acts as a ground cover and also keeps in moisture.
Marcus, thank you for that. Just really describing a cycle of life there, Jeremy.
Yeah, we definitely want to have biodiversity in our crop rotations, for sure. We definitely know that rotating our crops in our field is a good soil health practice. That is maximizing biodiversity is one of our four key health soil health principles that we teach and talk about all the time. And so, yeah, I think definitely having good crop rotation and, you know, instead of using the example of squash, you know, incorporating different cover crops and different biodiversity in that would definitely go a long way. And, you know, we are educating producers every day to try to incorporate the biodiversity into their fields.
Yes,
and
what
most people get that.
What assistance does the state offer farmers and other landowners who are concerned about erosion or who really want to be more active in figuring this out and adapting their land? What programs are out there?
Well, for the USDA NRCS, we offer cost sharing for a lot of different conservation practices. So we help cost share and design grass waterways, for an example. If we do have a steeper field that definitely has a history of gullies and erosion, we can work with those producers to help design and cost share grass waterways. We also have some different EQIP programs for our NRCS programs where we help cost share the cost of cover crops for a, kind of a first-time farmer trying to incorporate cover crops for the first time. So we do have cost sharing, and we always provide technical assistance for any type of soil health management system that a farmer producer is looking to start incorporating. If that's, you know, trying to start to reduce their tillage, trying to have different cover crops associated with their land.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always available for technical advice.
What kind of participation have you seen in these types of programs from farmers over the years? Are they becoming more popular? Are they, you know, staying about the same? What do you see there?
I definitely think that we're seeing more, especially in the last 10 years or so. I know in our agency, in the NRCS, we've really started the soil health journey about, you know, 15 years ago is when we really started to mention these different soil health practices and management systems. But, you know, our agency was created in 1935 based on, we were created just pretty much because of the Dust Bowl and what occurred after that. And so we have been working with farmers since then in terms of putting conservation on the ground with help with soil erosion. But we definitely have seen more activity in the soil health cover crop areas over the last decade.
So as you go through this soil health journey, as you put it, what does the future hold for topsoil in the Midwest? What is that forecast like?
Well, I would like to say it's still in a dire state, I would say. I think we are getting to see more producers are turning to soil health practices and soil health management systems of reducing their tillage and incorporating cover crops. But I think, you know, the majority of our producers are still in the conventional cropping system methods. But, you know, we are seeing more changing. And I think as you go down the future, we're going to, you know, people are going to start to demand more of the products that are being produced to be produced in a sustainable way, incorporating these soil health practices. So, you know, I think the future is looking good, but I think we still have a long way to go.
We only have a minute left or so. Mike from Milwaukee called in and couldn't stick around and wondering how suburban development is impacting soil erosion. What do you see there?
Well, it's definitely, in terms of soil erosion, you know, when we have urban land, we're taking farmland out of production or land out of production, and we're essentially, you know, creating an impermeable surface to that. So by having cement and buildings and things like that. So we definitely would, you know, potentially based on how our drainage systems work, there could be some impact from urban development, but essentially, you know, we're getting more runoff in general in our urban areas that again end up in our lakes, rivers, and streams and carries those different elements with it.
Jeremy, thank you for the update. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. You guys have a great day.
You too. Jeremy Ziegler is a soil scientist with the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. Ahead this hour, Oshkosh needs to fill its vacant municipal jobs, or residents will find their services will suffer. We hear from the city manager about the workforce crunch, how your city is dealing with turnover in the Great Resignation. 800-642-1234 to join in. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.